Guys were awesome tonight, I'm telling you. Whoa. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. That shows what can happen when you give yourself to worship, when you give yourself to the skills as well, you know. Wow. All right, so we're going to talk, excuse me. Blessed are the peacemakers. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a peacemaker. So, number one, it says, note the Bible does not say peacekeepers. Okay? You go around with a marshal's badge on, huh? Change your name to Wyatt. No. Rather, one who seeks to promote peace. Let's look at Matthew 5:9. That's our key scripture for tonight. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So turn to your neighbor and say, you're a son and daughter of God. I believe your very presence in a room brings the peace of God. People may not know what it is, but it's the presence. You bring the presence of the Lord. Isn't that right? When you go into a place, I want you to say this to one. I want you to expect God to show up in your surroundings. Tell the people next to you, expect God to show up. If you start expecting it, it's going to happen. The Lord's bringing back a remembrance to me. We were having a big healing meeting on Sunday, and I don't think we had a special speaker or anything, but I remember I was in Harris Teeter, and I was in line. I was waiting in line, and I noticed that they had a lady before me, and then there was a bag lady, because she was bagging up groceries, and the other lady was taking the money. And they were talking among themselves, and the lady who was bagging things, she said, I can hardly stand on my leg. I'm in such pain. Well, how many know if I just pass that over, that's no good, because I know I'm bringing the presence of the Lord with me, all right? And so the lady was trying to, you know, make her feel better and talk to her and build her up a little bit. So when I got in the line, I said, listen, I said, I'm a Christian. Didn't even say I'm a pastor. I said, I'm a Christian. I believe that God heals today. We have seen many, many healings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that's possible for you? And I pointed to her. And she went, yeah, I want it to be possible. I said, okay. Is it okay if I pray with you? She goes, yes. How many know when you're praying for people like that, you have to use wisdom, right? So I said, put your own hand on your leg. Now, I'm going to point to your hand and to your leg, and I'm going to speak healing. I'm going to rebuke that spirit of infirmity against you. So I did, and a lady goes, I don't have any more pain. I said, do what you couldn't do. And so she's bending it and doing all this. I said, walk a little bit. So she's walking. She goes, I don't have any more pain at all. So I paid my bill. I went out in my car, and I brought back some flyers. I went up to her, and I said, dear, are you still walking and healing? 15 minutes, right? She said, I am. I said, would you do me a big favor? Sure, sure. What do you want? I said, we're having a healing service Sunday. Pass these out in the store. She goes, okay. So I had a worker added to us just by following the leadership of the Lord. And he will lead you by his peace. He'll give you peace about doing that. So, okay. So Jesus suffered and died to make peace between us and his Father. Right? To make peace between us and his Father. Ephesians 2, let's look at it. For he himself, meaning Christ, is our peace. Say, Jesus is my peace. Who has made both one. Who's the both? Jew and Gentile, right? He's reconciled us to the Father. And has broken down the what? The middle wall of separation. There was a middle wall, right? Having abolished in his flesh the enmity. We don't use that word anymore, but that's a good word. It speaks of division. There was a division at one time between us and the Father, right? How many know, for those of us in Christ, that enmity has been slain? We don't have to deal with that anymore. That is the law of commandments that contained in ordinances so as to create in himself one new man. You are one new man, right? Whether you're a lady or a man, you're one new man in Christ. From the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile, bring back together. It's a great word. That he might reconcile them both to God in one body. Say, I'm reconciled to the Father through the blood of Jesus. Simple gospel right there. Both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. God's not mad at you anymore. Isn't that awesome? How many used to think God's mad at you all the time? Right? Now, the Bible does say God's mad at sinners all the time, but he's already made provision for that to change, okay? And he loves sinners, but he wants them to. There's only one salvation, only one way to go. All right, so we were taking Ina's brother to the airport. By the way, we had an awesome visit with him. Really good. Best we've ever experienced. So he was telling us about his initial salvation experience. He got saved in 1984. We had been praying for him for a long time. And Ina and Janie and her mom for much longer than I had, right? And how many know you don't quit praying for people? And so he said, for 2 days I was up all night. And he said, I was just thinking about Jesus and about the salvation and how I needed to really surrender to Christ. And he said on the second or third day, he went over to his pastor's house. It was late at night. It was about 11 o'clock at night. Knocks on the door. Pastor's in his PJs. Bud, what do you need? He said, I need to talk to you. He said, I need to get my life right. Well, come on in the house. And so for the next several hours, the pastor helped the Holy Spirit wrestle with Bud. He surrendered everything, but how many know the Lord's not going to let you alone? He said, the one thing I wasn't willing to do would be to preach. And he said, the more I dug my heels in, he said, the more the weight of guilt and oppression just came down on me. How many know you can't bargain with God? You don't bargain with God. Right, and he said, finally, I cried out to God, and he said, I'm willing to even to preach. And he said, the oppression lifted, and he said, heaven came down. He said, God never called him to really do that, although he's done it in part, but he said he hadn't called me full-time in that area, but he was willing. How many know we have to be willing, right? Have to be willing. And so, lay minister, absolutely, a powerful one. And not afraid to tell it like it is. So, that's a good example. So, number two, we cannot be peacemakers without knowing the things that make for peace. Okay? First of all, we can't pay for it. I don't know if anybody, I'm trying to think if anybody tried to hand me money. I think they did, probably. Oh, I remember this. You don't want to do this. I was down on Mardi Gras night in New Orleans on a street corner preaching. Say, lots of luck, PD. Yeah. Man, how many think I needed grace that night? I need some super grace. Everybody's walking by me, you know. Some people flipping me off. Some people cussing me. I had one guy, and he turned out to be a merchant marine. I didn't know that till later. And he's standing there just listening to me. Oh, that's good, man. Hey, you drunkard and skunk. That's really good, you know. And so finally, listen, you got to keep your sermon short when you're speaking in the streets. You talk about short attention spans. Whoa. So this guy, he said, oh, you're real good. Here's $100. I said, I don't want your money. I want you. Well, maybe later, but here's $100, you know. But it's crazy. On Mardi Gras, I don't know even why we went down there on Mardi Gras days. Boy, you need grace for that, all right. Okay, so we can't pay for it, as it has already been given by God's grace. Great scripture, Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, having been justified, so I'm justified. That's a legal term. You are legally saved. It literally means just as if you never sinned. All right? And it means that you are righteous in Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, you are righteous in Christ. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Awesome scripture. Awesome scripture. Okay. This is what everyone is looking for. Let's look at a few of these scriptures. Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So God was announcing what he was sending Jesus to do. To stand in the gap, to take and reconcile the sinful mankind back to the Father through his own blood. Glory to God in the highest. Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Let me stop right there. Look at your neighbor and say, you have beautiful feet. Go ahead and tell them. The only way you could say that about my feet, and Ina can say this, is because I got flat feet, man. I mean, I can tell whether a dime is heads or tails, baby, just bare feet. In the natural, my feet, pardon the grammar, they ain't beautiful. But how many know all our feet are beautiful? Because wherever he sends us, it's by his direction and grace and glory. Okay, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. I had a young man, I got a phone call. I wasn't going to use this. The Holy Spirit said, I got a phone call from this guy, this older man. He said, I'm going to be in town. And he said, I got to talk to you. And he said, I'm a friend of your dad. So we had lunch together. And he says, look, he said, I'll give you money to do this. I don't want your money. And he said, well, I have this young man that's going to Tulane University, which is in New Orleans. And he said, would you? He said, I've already told him. And he said, I hope it's okay with you that he's going to get a call from you. He needs Jesus. He's an Oriental young man. He needs Jesus. He's very smart, pre-law. And would you please meet with him? I said, of course, I'll do that. So I wrote his name and number down. And a few days later, I called, and the young man said, yeah, I've been expecting your call. And so I said, okay, let's go have lunch. So I had lunch, and I gave him my testimony. And he said, how many know your testimony is the best one to give? Okay. Lean over and tell your neighbor he's talking to you. So I gave my testimony, and he said, well, you know, he said, that's really good for you. I said, really? He said, yeah, that's really good for you. He said, but see, here's my problem with that for me. He said, I have a full scholarship, 100%. He said, I have all the money I need. I'm in a prestigious school, Tulane, pre-law. And he said, so I really don't need God. Oh, you said that to the wrong dude, baby. Huh? I was not about ready to leave quietly. All right? So I looked at him. I said, okay. I said, I'm going to do you the biggest favor you could ever imagine. He said, what's that? I said, I'm going to pray that you really start having some needs. I said, God will answer my prayers. Because I said, the only way that you're going to get off your own throne, you are your own king. You need to get off your own throne. And I said, there's only one way that's going to happen now, because I said, you have everything rosy and calm, but I said, we're going to stir things up. Please don't do that, he said. I said, oh, I am committed. Have a great day, bro. Yeah. All right. Huh? I don't know. I'm just hoping that the Lord, believe in the Lord, zapped him, you know. But everybody's looking for peace. Can you say amen? I had a good friend of mine, Greg Therrell, pastors in, he did pastors up in Arkansas now. He was in our church. He was one of the staff guys. And he said, Dave, I have to go out of town. He said, my father is having surgery, cancer surgery, I believe it was, up in Arkansas. And he said, I got to go. And he said, I'm supposed to speak Thursday morning. And he said, would you please take my place? We had a Thursday morning prayer meeting, and then we had a teaching. I said, sure, I'd be glad to. So I sought the mind of the Lord, and I said, Father, what is it you want me to talk on? He said, talk about my peace. I said, okay, I can do that. So I wrote a few scriptures down. Going to the meeting, and we had on the front row a whole family. Unusual. I knew a couple of them, but most of them I didn't know. So I got up there. How many know the peace of God is a pretty easy subject to talk about, right? And you would think people are not going to get offended about that, right? You would think. So I'm teaching on the peace of God and how Jesus purchased it for us. And the more, and I'm talking about life without peace and life with the peace of God. And I noticed this one lady, she's an older lady, put her about 70 maybe. And the more I went on teaching, the redder she got. You ever see somebody and you look at them and you know, in just a few minutes, she's Vesuvius is blowing off, right? So I'm getting ready. This lady's just like, and all of a sudden she leaps to her feet screaming, I have no peace. How many know that's the time to stop your message? And we did. And so we ministered to her. She gave her heart to Christ. She's crying. Some people wait a long time. She was in her early 70s, I think, before she gave her heart to Jesus. Some people never hear have never heard the message. How many know we can't assume they know? You just can't assume it. Tell your neighbor, you can't assume it. Ask questions if you must. And that lady, when we walked out, she was had the beautiful peace of Jesus on her countenance, and her family was so glad they brought her that day. Praise God. All right, glory. Number three, what are the five keys to walking in his peace? Well, they're found over in Philippians 4. And let's go ahead and let's read verse 4 first of all. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, just want to stop there a minute. Philippians has more to say about rejoicing and joy than any other book that he wrote. And he's in jail when he wrote it. All right? He got beat up and they put him in the hole. And yet that's all he talks about is the joy of the Lord. Well, he starts out by saying, and this is a great way to start your day, and I'll give you the fill-ins. Be a rejoicing person in every situation. It is not just a feeling, but a choice. How many know we choose to rejoice? One of our great friends, who Ian and I love tremendously, Les Riggs. Oh, I love Les Riggs. What a wonderful guy. He was in the Marine Corps in Vietnam. He got out. And he was a short guy, and he became the racetrack chaplain. I had one guy say one time, what do you need a chaplain for? Is it if you lose a lot of money, does he pray for you? But he was a chaplain basically to the guys working at the track, right? To the jockeys and guys that swept up all the stuff. And he was a pastor to that whole group. I think in New Orleans, there were something like 1,500 people that had some connection with the track. And in Shreveport, it was about 500. And he would have regular meetings. I remember going and speaking at some of those meetings. But that guy had more joy, didn't he, Ina? He was rejoicing about everything. Have you ever been in a situation where you couldn't be around a person without just rejoicing, without being happy, because they were happy, they were up, and it was genuine and it was real? And we just loved hanging out with them. And one day, you ought to tell them about that, Anna, we married him at the racetrack, he and his wife. You're not going to tell about that? Okay. We married Les and his fiance at the racetrack, and it was covered on television. Yeah. We became television stars. Ina had her harp at the track, man. She's playing, you know. And they're rolling the tape, you know. We're joining them together, and it was cool. So we love Les. He's just a great brother. But he was a Philippians 4:4 right there. When I think of that verse, I think of him. Okay, number five, be considerate of others, even when you have issues with them. Do not choose self-centeredness. I mean, no, you can't hold on to your anger. You can't hold on to things like that. You need to release them. We need to choose to forgive. My brother-in-law, when he came to town, you know, we just hit it off so wonderfully every minute of the day. It was wonderful. And so we're driving him in town. He looks at me. He said, I hope you've forgiven me for past things. And I went, what are you talking about? That's ancient history. That's been under the blood a long, long time. What are you? No. You better not bring it up again, dude, because it's under the blood. Tell your neighbor you can't hold on to things. Nope. Let the Holy Ghost just blot your memory out. Praise God. Okay, verse 5. Let's look at verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Right? So God wants us to be gentle with people. Even people, especially people who don't deserve it. Isn't that right? But how many know we have to be accustomed to what Brother Lawrence called practicing the presence of the Lord? We need to walk in continual forgiveness of people, release them, bless them. Well, what if they don't ask for forgiveness? Release them anyway. You know? And then that will give you more firepower to pray and say, Lord, I release them, whether they forgive me or ask for forgiveness or not. I'm going on with things. I think I told you this, but the Lord keeps bringing it back, so I'm going to tell you the story. This was, oh man, a number of years ago when we had healing rooms also on Monday nights. How many of you were here that remember that? Healing rooms on Monday nights. And we had just started the Monday night period. We had a lot of people lined up. I counted 12 people who were ready to get prayer. And normally I wouldn't be involved as pastor, but I had to be. And there was a guy, somebody said, there's a guy in the very back. And so we went back there. This guy, he had to be a bodybuilder, big arms on him, had a baseball cap on sideways, not even backwards, you know. He was making a statement. I got an attitude. You got something you got to deal with, you know. So he said, well, it's going to take the whole team. He had this look. It's going to take the whole team getting me set free. I said, well, what's the problem? He said, well, he said, this left arm doesn't work anymore. I can't pick up anything with it. And I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. I said, we'll be with you shortly, okay? I said, fill this paper out. We're going to take it back into the prayer room. We're going to pray over your situation. So we go in the prayer room. We prayed over it. And what came out of it was, this guy has a lot of people to forgive. And if he doesn't do it, he won't get healed. So I went back to him, and I had a lady with me, and I said, look, we prayed about everything. And I said, we're going to pray for you. Let's go to the back room. So he gets up and goes back there with us. I said, the Holy Spirit showed us that you have a lot of people you need to forgive. Am I right? He goes, yeah. He got serious. I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I said, we're going to close our eyes. I'm going to put my hand on your shoulder. We're going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to bring before you people you need to release and forgive. God will, as your eyes are shut, God will bring the faces of these people. When you see their face, you just say, Lord, I forgive such and such. Okay? All right. So we prayed. I didn't know how long this was going to be. My gut feeling was, maybe 5-6 minutes. 20 minutes later. 20 minutes later. This guy was forgiving everybody. And the more he did, the more the tears just started flowing. I'm looking at my clock. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. It's okay. And he said, well, I guess that's it. I said, good. Way to go, man. Way to allow the Holy Spirit to bring cleansing. I said, now we're going to pray for that left arm. We laid hands on the arm. No big prayers, man. We knew this was going to happen quickly. Just laid hands on that elbow, commanded life to come to it, rebuked the pain. He goes, I don't have any more pain. Whoa. I said, go do what you couldn't do. See that chair with that one arm. Lift the chair. You couldn't do that before. So he goes and lifts the chair. He's curling with it, you know. He said, why couldn't my church do this? I said, I don't know. I don't go to your church. But I know what works. Know what works. So, got to forgive, got to release. Okay. Now, number 6, verse 6. Let's look at that one. Be anxious for nothing. Tell a person next to you, that's especially for you. Be anxious for nothing, yes. Oh, you need number 5. Oh, thank you. I didn't give that to you. I repent to you and to God. All right. Be considerate. Considerate of others. Did you get the considerate? You did get it. Okay. Okay, pardon me. 5B, know that Jesus sees everything you do. Jesus sees everything you do. All right. Believe me, he does. Okay. Number 6, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That word supplication is interesting in the Greek. It means to bow low. You know. So we're not talking about prideful prayers. We're talking about prayers that are filled with grace. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Tell your neighbor, thanksgiving is really important. It's really important. Let your requests be made known to God. All right. So, number 6, don't worry about anything. God has and will deliver you. Choose not to worry. Thankfulness is very important. I think the two best things you can do every day when you start the day, before you even bring your request to God, have a time of rejoicing. You know, just praise. God loves to hear your voice. Are you cool, PD, with putting on CDs or DVDs of worship music? Sure, but sing along with them. Right? Don't let them entertain you. Enter in. Tell your neighbor, enter in. You got to enter in. Okay. So, your voice needs to be heard. So, rejoicing and thanksgiving. All right? I got nothing to be thankful for. You're breathing. You're working. You know, people love you. What are you talking about? Right? So, be thankful. That's a big deal. That's a big deal as far as God's concerned. All right. Then number 6 as well, pray about every situation. All right? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pray about every situation. Remember, he has given us authority. This is really important. Let's look at Matthew 18. Assuredly, I say. Boy, you see that word, assuredly. We shouldn't rush through these verses. How many believe that every word is important? Tell your neighbor, Every word is important. Assuredly, that means, hey, baby, you can put your money on it. All right. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Wow. One translation said, will have already been bound, will have already been loosed. God's already been there before you. But you have to, how many know we are partners with him? We are co-what? Laborers with God. And so we have a part in it. Tell the person next to you, you especially have a part. So Matthew 18, 18 and 19. I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything, boy, how many know anything covers it? Concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Boy, that's powerful. How many know anything means anything? So, you know, we can stand in faith and believe the Lord, and as co-laborers, we're going to see it happen. One of my great friends who's now with Jesus, and I really learned how to pray for the sick through this guy. His name is Gene Sine. Gene Sine was an elder in the church in New Orleans. His older brother, great guy. Engineer, very sharp. And on Thursday nights, this is before Ina, I had Thursday nights off. And he'd say, hey, Dave. He said, look, why don't you and I, Wednesday night was service. He said, why don't you and I, he was married, guy lived in Slidell, but he was very systematic kind of fellow. And he said, why don't you and I go pray for the sick on Thursday nights? Because we had people in the church that were in the hospital, and some he'd just go into the hospitals, and they knew him, and they would let him go into the rooms. And I learned so much from this guy. You know, I just followed him, did what he did, huh? How many know sometimes that's what you need to do, to learn. And so two of us saw so many miracles take place. He'd call me during the week, hey, Dave, you know the guy we prayed for Thursday night? He's home, man. God healed him. I went, whoa. And we'd talk about all these things in the car and maybe having some fellowship afterwards, you know. So this is a funny story. Oh, my gosh. Ina and I love this one pastor in our church named Garland Pemberton. And the kids call him Garlic Pepperoni. He was a great big guy. Had been a prize fighter. You didn't want to mess with him looking at him. Oh, no. But he was just, we call him Gentle Ben. He was just overflowing with the joy of the Lord. And we had this all night. It was 24 hours of prayer in our church. And you had to sign up for the hours. And so I think Garland signed up for 2 to 4 in the morning. Didn't have a lot of folks signing up for that time. But one of the young men that signed up for it was Drew Roos. Drew had just gotten saved in our church, and he just got filled with the Holy Spirit. Drew Roos now is a bishop in Louisiana. He got a big church, great church, you know. And so Drew Roos signed up for that, and he said to me, Drew was laughing, he said, it was a wonderful time. He said, whatever Garland did, I did. He said, Garland got on his knees, I was on my knees. Garland got up, and he said he started walking around the place. I'd get up and start walking around the place. He'd start binding, I'd start binding. He'd loose, I'd loose, you know. He'd shout, you know, he'd shout joy of the Lord, and he said, I'd shout the joy of the Lord. And he said, everything he did for 2 hours, I did right after him. And he said at the end, he said, when it was our turn to leave and others were coming in, Garland looked at him, he said, you're the most spiritual young man I think I've ever met. He said, I didn't tell him. I didn't know what my right hand from my left hand. He said, I know I just needed to to do what he was doing. All right. So, number four, what will be the results? Fear will be replaced with peace. Oh, yeah. 2 Timothy 1:7. Love. This is maybe my favorite scripture. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. That word fear means timidity, right? But of power. Say, I have power. And of love. Say, I have love. The love of Jesus. And a sound mind. Say, I'm not nuts. I mean, no, people may think you're nuts sometimes, you know, if you're just rejoicing in the Lord or whatever. That God's peculiar people, right, exactly. So, if you feel troubled, then it's time to unburden yourself, right? And God will come to your rescue. He'll help you. Consider comparing David with his son Solomon. Now, I learned something in studying for this lesson, and I bet you don't know this. You might. Boy, if I had a hat, I'd take it off to you on this one, but let's look at this. Consider comparing David with his son Solomon. David had many friends as well as enemies. Let's look at Psalm 3, verses 4 and 5. David said, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Selah. Selah means, what do you think about that, right? Psalm 3 and 5, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. All right, so Solomon had most of his life no friends and no enemies until the very end of his life. But he had many problems. Let's look at the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Kind of an obscure scripture. Behold, it is Solomon's couch, meaning his bed, all right, with 60 valiant men around it. The king had 60 soldiers around this bed every night. Why? He was fearful. David said, no, I just got into God and lay down and slept. I was okay, all right? And Solomon, really, until the very end of his life, he didn't have any enemies. God blessed him with that, right? These guys were valiant. Can you imagine how many of you can let your imagination go here? How big that bed must have been? Wasn't a Sealy. I mean, to have 60 guys around the bed? Whoa. He said they all hold swords around his bed. Come on now. Being expert in war, every man has his sword on his thigh because of fear in the night. David knew how to get into God and get release and get peace. How many have never seen that verse? I don't think you have, probably. All right, so David could sleep at night, but Solomon needed 60 soldiers surrounding his bed. He had as many as 60 guards around his bed each night. Whoa! Solomon had 700 wives and 300 mistresses, but no peace. We could preach a sermon on that one. Huh? Hey, you got to say that. Let's reprise that one.
Well, I mean, the word is said he had 700 wives, 300 mistresses. That's 1,000 women. He needs a big bed.
And a lot of protection, huh? Oh, man. I love it. That's wild. All right. So let's close out here. Ecclesiastes 5, 11 through 13. When goods increase, now this is not David, this is Solomon. When goods increase, and boy did they increase with him, they increase who eat them. So what profit have the owners except to see them with their eyes? He really couldn't enjoy all that wealth because he was walking away from God toward the end of his life. And he couldn't, how many know you can have all the money in the world, but if you are not plugged into the Lord, you're walking away from God. Forget having peace. Right? All right. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. In other words, he was saying, I wish I was one of those guys. Whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. He's talking about himself. There is a severe evil which I have seen under the sun, riches kept for their owner to his hurt. So, you know, how many know the Lord wants us to be generous? That was a good time to say amen. Okay, and you are. So let's read David's testimony and we'll finish up. This is found in Psalm 73 and then 27. Let's look at that. David said, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Beautiful. And finally, verse 3, though an army may encamp against me, what? My heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this will I be confident. And he goes on to say that God's peace keeps him safe. Beautiful. Everybody stand. How many are glad you have the peace of Jesus on the inside? Amen. Beautiful. And how many know he's never going to take it away from you? All right? You're secure in him. You're sealed. Say, I am sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't have to be afraid of anything. For God has set me free. Beautiful. Y'all come on down. We're going to pray.